Welcome back to The Deeper You Dive, a podcast where we dive deep into one record per season. This will be one of two episodes where we will be analyzing the intro to East, titled Emily. Before we dive in, there are a few bits of background knowledge we should know. The title of this track, Emily, is the name of Joanna's younger sister. Emily is an astrophysicist, and the relationship of the sisters is a prominent theme throughout the song. Also, though never confirmed publicly, it is speculated that in 2005, Joanna was pregnant. Throughout this song and this record, we will explore the reasons why that is believed to be true. Let's dive in.
The meadowlark and the chimney and the sparrow said to the sky in a flying spree for the sport of the pharaoh. Little while later, the Pharisees dragged a comb through the meadow. Do you remember what they called up to you?
The delivery of the opening lyrics provides a fabled feeling right from the beginning and sets the scene for what is to come. Meadowlarks and sparrows are species of songbirds, but what is a chimchurri? It has been theorized that this could be a reference to Mary Poppins, as there is a song sung in the movie in which a line has the word chim-chim-churri, but there seems to be no reason for this reference. More likely, it seems that a chimchurri is made up by Joanna, and considering its placement between two songbirds, it is likely that the word is meant to represent an imaginary bird species. This contrast between real and imagined is an important theme throughout East, as we have touched on in our first episode, and the opening line immediately presents this idea to us. Also, let's remember that the meadowlark featured in the myth of East, as the song of a meadowlark was said to incite the springs in the mask of Dahoots engaged that would slit his throat. Continuing, these birds set to the sky if only for the sport of the pharaoh. This action could be a metaphor for finally leaving your nest only to be shot down, another important concept on the album. This idea of a young adult being old enough to leave their nurturing home only to be killed by the outside world. This is also the first of an additional theme throughout the album, man versus nature. This specific line describes the shooting of birds being used as a sport for humans, and we will see this contrast of natural life versus mankind in every song on this record. Also, pharaohs were the rulers of ancient Egypt, and they play a prominent role in the Bible, so let's note this down as the first religious reference in the song. The following line references the Pharisees, which are another group of people featured in the Bible. Pharisees were an ancient Jewish sect who were said to obey a strict set of laws and opposed Jesus' claim to be the Messiah. We also note that pharaohs are referenced in the Old Testament, whereas Pharisees are referenced in the New Testament. The pharaohs and Pharisees both combated Christianity to some degree according to the Bible, whether it be Moses freeing the people of Israel from the pharaoh's cruelty, or the Pharisees opposing Jesus in the New Testament. By referencing these figures, the idea of combating Christianity is faintly presented. Furthermore, the Old Testament and New Testament are two separate texts, and they preach two distinctly different philosophies. The Old Testament is an ancient text that contains messages that declare homosexuality to be a sin, prohibit the wearing of mixed linens, etc., while the New Testament centers around rebirth and love amongst all human beings. It may seem like a stretch now, but it is possible that the use of references from both testaments is the beginning of an exploration of a religious paradox. We will see throughout the rest of the song that Joanna seems to be struggling with keeping her faith and finding out what she believes in. Joanna then sings that the Pharisees dragged a comb through the meadow. A comb is a piece of plastic with small teeth, often used to untangle hair. To comb something can also be used to describe a thorough search of something. This line describes the Pharisees sifting through the water for the birds that were shot in the previous lines, which is another nod to mankind's interaction with nature. We also note the use of comb that seemingly relates the river to hair, and that will not be the first personification of human traits upon natural order. Joanna asks an unknown figure if they recall what someone said to them from their window. Considering the title of the song and the fact that this person was seemingly with Joanna on the inside of their window, it feels safe to assume the person she is asking the question to is her little sister, Emily. See also the use of called up to you and me. This presents a distance between the sisters and whoever is calling to them, as if the sisters are in a castle tower being called upon from below.
There is a rusty light on the pines tonight, some corn wine, Lord or marrow. Into the bones of the birches and the spires of the churches jutting out from the shadows.
The orchestral score that accompanies this stanza meanders a winding path as Joanna's wordplay dances to illuminate a gorgeous scene. With ease, she describes the setting sun in a way only she can. Not just visually descriptive, but thematically important as well. Sun pouring wine is a beautiful way to describe the amazing phenomena that is a sunset. Our sun, usually bright white or yellow in the sky, shines a blaze of pink and red when it meets the horizon. The sun itself is often still yellow or orange during a sunset, but the light around it turns almost flamboyantly colorful. The use of Lord or Marrow is another immaculate display of the wordplay present here. By saying the word Lord, we can suddenly hear the sun presented at the beginning of the line as Son, as in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Marrow references bone marrow, the yellow spongy tissue inside our bones that produces red blood cells. Sun pouring wine, red, Lord, often depicted with the color white, or marrow, yellow. Red and white come together to make pink, with pink and yellow being two definitive colors of a sunset. We also acknowledge that wine symbolizes the blood of Christ, and marrow could refer to the body of Christ, which would then depict Holy Communion. Joanna then personifies the branches of the trees as bones, tying back to the word marrow in the previous line. Spires of the churches not only affirms the religious reference, but contrasts the previous line. Birch trees are a natural structure that the sun touches, while churches are built by men. In just four lines, Joanna deftly weaves religious themes into a vivid visual description of the sunset. The sun setting is also relevant in terms of what that could represent itself. Day is usually depicted as full of joy and happiness, while night historically symbolizes depression, sadness, or other dark emotions. The following lines continue the exploration of man versus nature. A yoke is a tool fastened to the neck of animals in order for them to pull a cart or carriage. An axe is used to chop wood. A smokestack is a chimney. The bale is likely a bale of hay, and the barrow is likely a shortened version of the word wheelbarrow. All of these things described are tools used by men to corral nature for their benefit. Everything sloped like it was dragged from a rope refers to the hills or mountains of the area Joanna is describing. As discussed in the first episode, Joanna is from rural California, so it seems probable that she is painting the scene of her hometown. The fact that it is described as if it were dragged from a rope may suggest that the landscape is so picture-perfect that it appears to Joanna as if it were crafted by man for its beauty, like the wheeled background for a play hold on stage before showtime. Lastly, Mouth of the South Below is a rhyme that continues the personification present throughout this verse.
We've seen those mountains kneeling, felt in and gray. We thought our very hearts would up and melt away from the snow. Going and going, and the stirring of wind chime in the morning.
Carrying on with the personification, we have the mountains kneeling, Felton and Gray. Felton isn't a word, but Joanna uses it to describe the grass on the mountains as if they were felt. Felt is a cloth made by rolling and pressing wool onto a suitable textile, creating a soft and fleecy material. She then describes how the sheer beauty of the scenery melted her and her sister's heart. The use of snow in the next line contrasts the use of the word melt in the previous line. The repetition of going indicates the boundlessness of the mountain range that surrounds them, and the repetition of mourning serves almost like an alarm to wake her from her dream. As she sings the words, "Helps me find my way back in," so too do the strings begin to head back home. Then they ascend in a swell again, paving a road that leads us to a description of Joanna's dream.
Cloud, mica spangled like the sky, been breathing on a mirror.
Joanna sings that she dreamed of Emily playing by the river, skipping stones across the water's surface, but she is upset by her inability to skip them further. We remember now that Emily is an astrophysicist, and the word angle here is used to help describe her as a person. To be upset about the angle the stone is skipping at is to be extremely meticulous, much like any good astrophysicist would be. Joanna's sister is concerned with the physics of the situation. She wants to understand why the stone isn't skipping further and how she can change the angle to maximize the range of the stone. Slipped under forever describes the surface of the water as being the barrier between the known and unknown. Once the stone slips under the surface, it is swallowed by a mud cloud. Mica is a stone used for its natural beauty. It is pearl-like and often used in jewelry and accessories. Something that is spangled is sparkly, so the use of mica spangled displays the shininess and shimmering of the stone as it slips under the water, never to be seen again. Joanna also describes the surface of the water as a mirror. Any clear and still source of water will reflect the sky above it. The sinking of the stone causes ripples upon the surface and cloudiness from the mud below. This simile wonderfully personifies the sky as a person looking at themselves closely in a mirror, accidentally breathing on it and clouding their reflection. We note the contrast we were just presented. Joanna's sister is concerned with the imprecise actions of the scene. Even in the dream, she is focused on the physical world around her and how she can operate within it to achieve what she desires. On the other hand, Joanna is not interacting with the world, but rather observing and poetically describing the scene. This masterfully displays the distance between these two sisters in terms of how they think and perceive the world around them.
Anyhow, I sat by your side, by the water. You taught me the names of the stars overhead that I wrote down in my ledger. Though all I knew of the road, universe were those Pleiades loosed in December. I promised you I'd set them to verse, so I'd always remember.
Despite how peculiar she finds her sister's actions, Joanna goes to sit by her at the riverside. Emily points out the stars and constellations to Joanna, and Joanna makes sure to write the names down so as not to forget. As she writes them, Joanna explains that her knowledge of the universe is limited. The line, "Though all I knew of the rote universe were those Pleiades loosed in December," is one of the densest on the album. First off, the word rote is a peculiar yet descriptive word choice. Rote is defined as mechanical or habitual repetition of something to be learned. By describing the universe as rote, Joanna seems to be alluding to the frivolous nature of science. Joanna, an artist, likely finds science to be relatively tedious. Science is a slow game. To take one step forward, you must assure that every previous step you have taken has been correct. Despite all of this monotonous fact-checking, the reality is that science only comes up with a fraction of the answers to the human existence. Art and science are more similar than people often realize. They both explore the same thing, our understanding of life. The difference lies in how they go about doing this. Art does not seek to prove anything, but rather express the human condition through creation. This contrast between art and science is flawlessly reflected by the contrast between these two sisters. This line mentions the Pleiades, also known as the Seven Sisters, who are one of the closest open star clusters to Earth and are the most obvious to the naked eye. The origin of the name comes from Greek mythology. The Pleiades were the seven daughters of the Titan Atlas and the sea nymph Pleione, and were companions to Artemis, goddess of the hunt and wilderness. One of the Pleiades, named Merope, was shamed because she married a mortal named Sisyphus. One myth tells it that after Atlas is made to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders, the Pleiades all committed suicide as they were so saddened by his fate. In turn, Zeus immortalized them by turning them into stars. Merope is said to be the faintest of the stars because she brought shame to the sisters by marrying a mortal. Another version of the myth sees Orion, a legendary hunter of the time, pursue the Pleiades. He encounters Merope and drunkenly beats her. Artemis goes to Zeus to ask him to protect the Pleiades from Orion, and Zeus decides to turn them into doves first, before eventually turning them into stars. These stars, the Seven Sisters, are a winter constellation, so that explains the loosed in December part. Lastly, the Pleiades are mentioned three times in the Bible, reaffirming the religious theme being presented in this song. Joanna uses this myth to combine her sister's field of astrophysics to her own life. We don't quite yet know why this mythology relates to Joanna, but we will discover more as we dive deeper into the album. Remember
that the meteorite is the source of the light, and the meteor's just what we see. And the meteoroid is a stone that's devoid of the fire that propelled it to thee. And the meteorite's just what causes the light, and the meteor's how it's perceived. And the meteoroid's a bone thrown from the void that lies quiet, an offering to thee.
The strings slow to a low drone as Joanna and her harp take center stage. As promised, she attempts to put the knowledge her sister taught her of the stars to verse. Crucially, she fails. As defined by NASA, a meteoroid is a small particle from a comet or asteroid orbiting the sun. A meteor is the light phenomena which results when a meteoroid enters the Earth's atmosphere and vaporizes, a shooting star in other words. A meteorite is a meteoroid that survives its passage through the Earth's atmosphere and lands upon the Earth's surface. Joanna confuses the meteorite with the meteoroid with the meteorite, and the meteor with the meteoroid. This confirms what we have been speculating. These two siblings are vastly different. They perceive the world in different ways, so much so that one is an astrophysicist while the other can't properly remember the scientific facts told to her moments ago. We explored Joanna's potential feelings of the frivolousness of science earlier, but this is the best evidence we have to support that claim. While we know the most immediate purpose of this chorus, it is also possible to interpret different meanings from what the meteor, meteorite, meteoroid represent. Perhaps from Joanna's words and not the actual scientific definitions, the meteorite could be the soul of the person, the source of their life force. The meteor, being just what we see, could represent the external presentation of this person, an inaccurate portrayal of the soul that exists inside the body. In the meteoroid, the stone that's devoid of its fire, could be the body without life, in other words, death. A different interpretation of the chorus could see the meteor, meteorite, meteoroid representing the Holy Trinity. The meteorite would be the Father, being the source of everything. The meteor would be the Holy Spirit. It is within our world, and it is how we perceive the power of God in our domain. The meteoroid would then be the body of Christ, Jesus, who was sent down from heaven to save humanity. These interpretations have no support to their name other than what they make me think of, and I encourage you all to share your own interpretations if these differ. Regardless of the exact meaning of these lines, the overall feeling insinuated by this chorus is Joanna's inability to make sense of the universe and her existence, further confused by her sister's faith in the scientific explanation of the universe. That wraps up this episode. Be sure to tune in next episode where we will conclude our analysis of this track.